Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
It's your boy Sam at More Life One.
Yo, what's up everybody? On today's episode, we have rebuilding the roster. We're going to talk about what's missing, some of the coaching changes that we've been hearing about, and then lastly, actually a couple things. We're going to deal with recruiting because we know signing day is what, I guess, less than 2 weeks away from us, and then flipping this team. We're going to be a little bit more positive on this episode. Sam, you ready?
Yeah, let's get that. Let's do that. Let's get it.
All right, man. Let's get it. I guess before we dive into that, man, it's been a minute before since last we talked, man. I heard you took up golf. I don't see all the pictures. I saw somebody put in Sammy Woods. Sam, you got some new things coming on, man. How that golf game looking?
It's bad. It's all bad. It's not good. It's not turning around. Well, actually, today I actually got my follow through to come all the way through. And I got it. I got my backswing to be kind of slow coming back through. So it's looking better. It's looking better. I took some videos of it. It looks way different than when I first started. You know, I just got to really get consistent. I think I need to go to buy 100 balls a day. So I bought like 100 wiffle balls. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start hitting like 100 wiffle balls a day to get the driver down.
Yeah, I haven't golfed in probably, 6 months now since I've had a lot of stuff going on, so I really hadn't had a chance to hit a golf ball. Matter of fact, I left my golf clubs in Florida, which is crazy because I'm probably about 15 minutes from the world-famous Augusta National. So it's funny that I don't even have my golf clubs with me, but and funny that I stay 2 minutes from a golf course.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm going to have to pick it back up, man. But, yeah, it's just all about you got to play every day, get more consistent, and then you'll still be bad at it, but at least you'll know what you're doing.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because it's like that one good shot keeps you coming back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That one good shot keeps you coming back. So I hit one good shot the first time, and now I think I'm up to like 5 good shots now. So
I was gonna say, let you make a triple, you know, make you a double bogey or a triple bogey, man. You feel like you can play with the pros.
Yeah, it gets out of control, dude. Like anytime you hit like, especially if you hit like a good sand wedge, you know what I'm saying? Or
yeah,
do a good job with your nine, or God forbid your 2-putt, you know what I'm saying? You be feeling
No, this ain't that difficult. Yeah. I don't know why these pros out here tripping.
Yeah. It gets crazy.
I don't know why these pros out here tripping.
And the best,
this ain't even that difficult.
The best part about it is like, it's like this social place to go just drink and to just hang out. You know what I'm saying?
Oh no, I don't even understand what the rest of it's for.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
No, man, get you a cup, and had a bottle, sir. Had a lady bring you some. I don't know what you drink, but you know me, I'm usually a dark liquor person. Oh. Even though I've switched to gin recently, I don't know why for some reason. But no, man, get you some dark liquor, get you some Crown and some Coke, man, you'll be all right.
Yeah, most definitely.
Nah, that's what's up, man. But listen, man, I guess we can jump right in, man. So a lot's happened, I guess, since the last time you heard from us, and a lot stayed the same for the most part, though. But we definitely want to tackle this episode a little bit different. We want to be a little bit more positive. We want to try to take a different approach to how we've been doing. I felt like we've been keeping it real. Sam also feels the same way, I know. But, you know, we wanted to let you know that, I guess, brighter days are ahead. So, I guess, first, let's talk about, you know, flipping this roster, man. What pieces, I guess, are we missing? So, we're going to rebuild the roster is what it looks like Mike Norvell is trying to do. How are we going to go about rebuilding it, and what are some of the pieces, I guess, that we're looking for?
So, you know, it's crazy. So, I was getting my troll loan the other day ago. I think it was like Monday or Tuesday. I think it's when Luke Altmyer decommitted. He didn't decommit. He finally committed to Ole Miss. You know, so I was making my jokes and everything. And your mentor, Wig, slid in my inbox.
So, as he is wont to do.
Yes, as he likes to do. slid in my inbox, and you know me and Wig, it's funny because I like Wig, but me and Wig have like such different opinions of things, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes it causes us to go really back and forth and get into heated discussion sometimes, but it does. It's funny because he's blocked me on Twitter once.
Matter of fact, what's funny is we got to have him in the off season. We got to have him on just to talk about why he blocking you, blocking everybody, him just blocking people on Twitter, man. Because it's funny. Like he eventually just gets to the point where he don't feel like hearing your voice no more. Like, you know what? Yeah, I'm tired of having this conversation.
He gets tired.
Yeah, right or wrong. And then he'll be like, I didn't even know what I was mad at. This
about. Yeah, he forget all about it. Be like, damn, why? We have an old boy all the time. Like, well, you blocked him like 6 months ago. Wig. Oh, damn. All right.
Yeah, I didn't even mean to do that.
Yeah, so, yeah. So we was talking and everything. And I was like, man, you know. And I was like, we talking about Jake Garcia because I was like, well, we're not getting Jake Garcia. I don't know why people hyping this up. That's not happening, you know. And he was saying the biggest thing about the roster right now is that the roster doesn't have any flex in it. Is a lot of stiff guys. A lot of these guys that don't have a lot have great bend. They're not very explosive. And at first I thought we were talking about the defensive ends, but he was like, nah, just the whole roster, you know. So I hit up a friend. I was talking to him about this. He's like, damn, I never really thought about it. He said, yeah, but other than like Asante Samuel, Amari Gaynor, I think that was
all the players we like.
No, well, it was somebody else he named that I didn't think of. Oh, Brownlee. Brownlee was the other one.
Gotcha.
And he was like, it's just not a lot of guys that's very twitchy. Not a lot of twitchy guys that kind of, can get small and make plays, you know? Because in football, you have to be able to get small at times and explode through people.
Right.
And he was talking about just how they're not very twitchy and they're trying to get twitchy guys.
Right.
So he was like, if you look at it, the DB with outside linebacker that they're recruiting that says he want to be a DB, well, he'll probably be an outside linebacker. They're going to put weight on him because he's already twitchy. You know what I'm saying? The guy from Lake City. You know, and they were saying that if that means they got to go get a guy that might think he's a wide receiver and flip him to a safety or a guy that's a outside linebacker and flip him to a DN, that's what they're going to do to try to get more twitchy guys, and which makes sense to me.
No, I agree. This guy isn't quick twitch, though. The guy from Lake City, according to the recruiting, he wasn't very quick twitch. He was, essentially just playing. He'd been playing out of position all season
long. Right, but I think that the ideal is to keep him at linebacker, outside linebacker, you know what I'm saying, and just put the 20 pounds on him. Because he's twitchy enough to be an outside linebacker, but not twitchy enough to be back.
Play a DB.
Right, yeah, right. So that's the idea. So these guys that's going to come in at certain positions, you might see them move to other positions. You know what I'm saying? Like, they might be a defensive back that turned into outside linebacker. Might be an outside linebacker that turned into a defensive end. So he's saying, like, look for that type of stuff. Because he said, the only way you're going to get that, you're not going to get the guy that's already defensive end is twitchy. That guy's already committed to Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, right? So you got to get some guys in here and then convince them. Hey, which is what Jimbo did in the early part. You know what I'm saying? He got guys to come in at a certain position and then flip them to another, like Xavier Rhodes. Came in at wide receiver. He wasn't twitching enough to be a wide receiver, but he was twitching enough to be a DB.
Yeah, I mean, shoot. Finding guys who were defensive ends and making them offensive linemen because they weren't twitching enough.
Right, but they twitched enough to be an offensive lineman, though.
Yeah, but they had good feet. Yeah. I mean, so, yeah, no, I thought that was one of Jimbo's, one of his greatest skills. Honestly, the ability to be able to look at a guy and say, my man, you're playing out of position. And not only are you playing out of position, but I think you'll be way more successful if you decide to do it this way. And I would think Mike should, I don't know if he will, but I believe he's going to start looking at really reevaluating his roster and saying, okay, this guy here is not good at whatever, X position.
Right.
But he is good at, this. So let me figure out where we can better use his skill set than what is being used right now. And so that's one of the things that I do believe they're going to start looking at. And I think they're going to start in these last two games, because I think it's very important that Mike goes into this offseason knowing exactly what he has.
Right,
you know what I mean? And then with the season going on even later than what it is, I mean, signing day is going to be over. He still has another game to play. You know what I mean? That's something that I do think that no other coach, you know, really has ever had. You know, the season's normally over with before the bowl game, and so now you don't have to worry about having to still play or, you know, not even have your season complete before signing day. He's going to have – what do they play? Signing day is on the 14th, I believe.
Yeah.
And they don't play the last game until the 19th. That's a, you know, a bit of a disadvantage, in my opinion, when it comes to Norvell, because, again, I have no idea how these last two games are going to look. They're a three-point favorite over Duke. I can't tell you they're going to beat Duke or not because, again, you know, it's just how they've looked in the past, and they've now had 3 weeks, so this may look like game one all over again. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But in the other sense, they have had a chance to get Jordan Travis healthy. They've had a lot of transfers. So, you know, I don't know. I'm going to go in – like I would normally go in and just tell you they're going to lose. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say I don't really know what to expect, and so I'm kind of going to watch this game kind of how we watched the Georgia Tech game. Let's just see. You know what I mean? I'm kind of – it's almost like a restart to the season. Anytime you get this amount of time off, you have this much attrition. I can't really say, you know, you're losing your best defensive player in Asante Samuel. I don't really know how it's going to look, but we'll see. You know, from what the players, the messages that have come out of, not camp, I'll give you say camp, but the message that have come from the team is, you know, the players leaving have really, you know, gelled the kids together. And
yeah, that's not true. That's not true. I'm not going to sit here and lie on the podcast. We're going to be positive, but we're not going
to lie. We're supposed to be lying. No, we got to lie.
We're not lying. That's not, we're
people
not
are expecting us to lie this week. So I'm going to believe the fact that all these players leaving have brought these kids together and everybody's happy and they singing Kumbaya and eating pretzels and stuff, man. I'm happy for these guys. So you just going to say nothing. Got it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm going to be positive, but I'm not going to lie.
You know. Oh, man, I thought we was lying this episode.
No, we're not lying. Oh, we being positive. We're not lying. But no, nah, oh, I mean, man. I think if he can get some, you know, especially if you can, like, I think me and you said that to turn this around, you need to grab some guys from big schools that got low, right, that got low ratings, right? Mm-hmm. Got low ratings. Flip those guys into being productive college football players, where the big time guys that's at those same schools say, hey, if he can make that guy a good football player, then he can take me to the next level. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's the formula, right? And so we was talking about basically, what do you like about Mike Norvell? What do you think about Mike Norvell, and what do you like about him that you think can translate over the next 3 years? So I think he does have an eye for identifying running backs. I think he's proven that he can find good running backs and get
good. And he can find good quarterbacks.
Well, I don't know about quarterback yet. Like I said, he's never developed a quarterback out of high school. I gotta see him do that first.
Yeah, but the ability to identify, all right, this guy can play ahead of time. He was early on Luke. Like, you know what I mean? Luke wasn't.
We haven't saw the book on Luke at Memphis. Right, but we haven't saw the book on Luke yet. We haven't saw that whole thing from beginning to end.
I agree with you.
Because, I mean,
we have never seen him play.
Right, but I'm saying, but when you look at Jimbo found guys like Matt Mock, Matt Flynn, Christian Ponder. Guys wasn't highly thought of, grab these guys and flip them to NFL players.
We're talking about two different schemes though, two different systems. Jimbo taught these kids how to read defenses. They were computers. You know what I mean? He basically turned every quarterback into Peyton Manning, no matter how good you were. So if you put this kid in the NFL room, he gonna look like, oh man, any coach is going to be impressed because you put him on that whiteboard and start, you know, having them break down the X's and O's of a defense. There's not a Jimbo quarterback who couldn't do it.
Right.
Which is why you were able to get EJ Manuel and Christian Pond into first round draft picks, even though we knew the talent wasn't. You put them in a room with the NFL GM and have them start drawing up the, you know what I mean? Have them drawn on that whiteboard. They're going to be like, oh, this dude could play the game. Forget the fact that he don't have the skill set to play the game. The fact that he was able to read defenses made them elite. You know what I mean? Because, again, part of the process is the ability to play to read defense. I mean, shoot, I would say almost one of the main parts of the playing the quarterback position is the ability to read defenses. And that was one thing Jimbo did better than just about anybody. He taught them the game and what they were seeing. He wanted to know, when you came to the sideline, what did you see? and then would teach you, okay, nah, this ain't what you're seeing well. So I don't know if necessarily that's Mike's forte. What I will say, though, ability to identify who can play the position, just based on what I've seen out of what you've done in high school, I think is very good. Just based on the fact that, listen, he was very early on this Altmyer kid. When he recruited Altmyer, he was at Memphis with no shot of landing Altmyer. None whatsoever. He then went to Florida State and had a real good opportunity of landing Altmyer because it's a big-time program. He then saw Alabama get into the mix, and then you saw, you know, Ole Miss. I think Altmyer is going to be pretty a pretty good player. Just my opinion.
Okay. I mean, I got to see the book first. And the fact that he won't be coaching him means that you won't have a complete picture of that also.
No, I mean, again, he could look – I mean, Lane Kiffin going to make him look great.
Right. I mean, he is. So, he is.
I give it a sense. Yeah. Lane Kiffin going to make him look great. Right. So you're right. I mean, he may be highly inflated, you know, but again –
But we're going to get a better idea with Chuba, though, right? Like, when Chuba's career is over, we'll be saying, okay, either Mike did a good job with Chuba or Mike got fired because Chuba wasn't any good.
That's if you believe Chuba is the future.
Well, I'm just saying, that's Chuba a quarterback still, that he identified. That's a quarterback that he identified, that he wanted, that he chose, and he brought here. I don't think he's going to get a highly recruited quarterback here. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that boat has sailed.
Chuba is his highly recruited.
Right, but I'm saying after Chuba, I don't see anybody else. I don't see another guy that's coming down a pipe that he's going to be able to identify and that's going to want to come here. He's got to build this thing to a point where elite guys want to be here.
I mean, I can't say that. He has an opportunity to get an elite quarterback. I mean, it's out of the transfer portal, but he does have the ability to get an elite quarterback. So I feel like as long as you can bring in elite quarterbacks, I don't care how you get them in there, just get them into your school. Look at what De'Aaron King has done for Miami right now. And I would say, I don't care how you bring the guy into your roster. I mean, how you bring him onto your team.
Right.
You just need a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to give him a pass and say, you know what? Forget it. I don't care if you ain't get the five-star Trevor Lawrence kid out of high school. You ain't going to get Jameis Winston. And I agree. He ain't going to get Jameis. But if you can get me, Garcia out of USC, hey, and Garcia turns ends up winning games for your program, you ain't gonna get a complaint out of me,
right? But he won't even get a guy like you, Garcia, though. I mean, that just won't happen.
I don't know that.
I know it. He's not getting Garcia
until Garcia signs with somebody else. I cannot say he's not gonna get Garcia the same way I cannot say he's not gonna get the guy of all. I don't know why his name escaped. I'm terrible with that. Out of Orlando as well. I mean, out of UCF. So,
Mackenzie Milton.
Now, I know, based on what Milton said, he was looking for in a football team.
Yeah, that probably not really. That don't sound like he's going to Florida
State. That don't sound like Florida State he described.
right.
That didn't really sound like he was describing Florida State when he mentioned culture and O-line. But, I mean, we'll get a chance to see how good a liar Mike Norvell is.
Yeah.
So when we talk about flipping the roster, right, what's the position I think that they need to focus on? What is the position that you think they need to focus on primarily? Because right now I'm looking at it and I'm saying quarterback, I'm fine with Jordan Travis if Jordan Travis can stay healthy, which is a huge if. But if Jordan Travis can stay healthy, I don't mind Jordan Travis as your quarterback going forward. So I don't necessarily see quarterback as the number one position because you are assuming that Chuba Purdy can play in the event that Jordan Travis, with another year in the system, he gets his full spring and all the other, foolishness that people have been saying.
Right.
So in the event that he gets all, that all that makes him a better quarterback, then I'm going to say Jordan Travis, even if not healthy, you should be fine. Fine. What's the position, I guess, that you see?
There is two positions on this team that needs to be flipped ASAP. I know you feel good about quarterback, but I'm going to tell you that you cannot have enough good quarterbacks on your roster. You need to continue to mind and find good quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Linebacker, especially in the middle, linebacker and offensive tackle if they can fix those two positions with to go along with the quarterback, everything else will fall into place. Because if you got a good quarterback and a good offensive line, wide receivers will want to be around that. You know what I'm saying? Tight ends will want to be around that. So they gotta flip that. And that might take – I think that's going to take 2 years to get decent tackles in here that can hold up on the pass protection, because we haven't had that for like 6 years now.
So we're going to agree on –
two positions, not one.
No. We're going to agree on middle linebacker. Where I'm going to disagree is – I mean, Atkins is turning this is making chicken salad out of chicken shit. I mean, like, he's doing unbelievable work with that offensive line. So I believe next year that offensive line, which was, you know, let's say slightly below average. I don't know if I'm going to give him average. I think becomes slightly above average next year with another year. You're basically bringing the whole band back together. You're going to add some pieces, I imagine, in the transfer portal. I think that offensive line becomes a slightly above average offensive line. I'm looking at wide receivers. I think you got to get some playmakers. Like, I watched that Florida game this weekend against Tennessee, and the ability that Kadarius Tony brings to Florida is unbelievable. It don't matter if it's third down and you need a play, all right, we're going to give it to Kadarius Tony on a jet sweep. He's going to give you a first down. Okay, we're going to put him in a slot and have a matchup against a linebacker. He is going to break this dude's ankles and he's going to get you a first down. He's going to catch the football and get you a first down. All right, we're going to line him on, like, regardless of the situation, you had a playmaker at wide receiver who every time they needed a play, they knew for a fact they were going to go to Tony. Everybody on the stadium knew they were going to Tony. We didn't know. Everybody on TV knew they was going to Tony. The broadcaster was highlighting Tony before the play, and he still was getting open.
Yep.
Got to get you one of those. You know what I mean? And the funny thing is, you in Florida, man. Them dudes is everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like walk out of your front yard, you can throw a rock and hit a Tony. Tony ain't special. That's what's wild about it. Tony's not a special, like, you know what I mean? Like, this special player who nobody ever seen before. Tony's come a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
Like, you find them everywhere. And so, if I'm Mike, go find me a Tony, man. Go find you somebody who can absolutely make a play, who you can count on for third downs, you can count on second down. He may not be the home run hitter like five.
What are you drinking over there?
This is gin, boy. This gin has got me. I can't remember nobody in there. Yeah, but no, man. Like, I remember this number, so I'm gonna give myself points for that. But yeah, man. Like you may not have a Terry on your squad to be able to get the home run, but give me the consistency of a Tony, man, who is hungry. Fights, is an absolute dog. He got a bit of a little man complex. You know what I mean? Like, give me one of those, man. Because I'm Atkins is absolutely doing yeoman's work with the offensive line. I'm gonna continue to allow him to do that and continue to make you know, again, positive strides in the offensive line. I don't necessarily care about a tackle. What I do care about is finding me some playmakers at wide receiver. If you just give me one Tony, it makes those other guys look good because once he starts catching those quick passes across the middle and turning 5 yard, you know, bubble screens into touchdowns, it changes the way that defense plays. It makes these other guys get a little bit more open, gives them a little bit more confidence. And now you got, you know, other guys who can now step up and make a play. So not to mention, I think you get some addition by subtraction when you get rid of some of these coaches as well, which we'll talk about a little later. But I do think you need a middle linebacker for sure. But my secondary position, not the offensive line, but I think it's the wide receivers.
Mm. I think you can find good wide receivers, man. I think you just gotta.
You can. I just think it's most important. I think it's more important than that tackle.
I think elite wide receivers are hard to find. They are hard. Like those guys that come in day one, that's gonna block, that's gonna catch the ball. That's gonna run good, like the Rashad Greens of the world, the Jared Judys, those guys are tough. You know what I'm saying? Even though I do think it's weird because I don't think Rashad Green was like this highly recruited guy.
Was not
worker, but he was a hard. But man, I mean, he wasn't shit at the Jaguars, maybe because he played with Blake Bortles in a terrible organization. But when he was at Florida State, that day on day one, that dude was ready to play football.
What was crazy is everybody was hyped about Kelvin Benjamin. Everybody was hyped about Kelvin Benjamin. Everybody was like, man, we can't wait to see Kelvin Benjamin. And Kelvin Benjamin didn't take off to his junior year.
Yeah.
It was like day one, Rashad Greene stepped on there as, again, what is it, a three-star wide receiver? Stepped on the day one and immediately had an impact. His routes were crisp. He was always open. He knew what he needed to do. And that, those guys, you're right, are hard to find, but not necessarily.
Yeah, you can find them.
Like, you can find those guys. Again, Rashad Greene wasn't a five-star everybody knew about. Rashad Greene was a good pickup who nobody, I can guarantee you, now the Florida State fan was like, but I can't wait to see Rashad Greene in them pads. Because I remember the hype of that class was Kelvin Benjamin. Everybody was like, "Yo, we got the next Megatron."
Yeah, but that's because Jimbo would always have this thing where he had these sidebars with the reporters when they talk about recruits, and Jimbo will always pick out four or five guys that he'd be like, "That guy gonna be special." You know what I'm saying? And for whatever we want to say about Jimbo, I don't know if there's a better talent evaluator in the country than Jimbo Fisher. Like, I don't know if there's five guys better than Jimbo Fisher when it comes to evaluating talent. Like,
when he focused?
Well, yeah.
When he focused.
Yeah, I mean that.
When he focused, he can pick them out.
Dude, and I'm not saying that because he did it at Florida State. Like, go look at a guy that he flipped from wide receiver to tell him to go be DBs at LSU. Or guys he so that's
– And vice versa.
And vice versa. I mean, like, even Nick Saban said, one of the best evaluators I've ever had on the staff was Jimbo Fisher. I mean, that dude could – I mean, Cam Irvin turned into a first round offensive. I mean, like, seriously,
a 10 year
pro in the NFL was going nowhere at defensive tackle. Nowhere.
Playing out of position.
Rick Leonard was going nowhere at defensive end. He's in the NFL still to this day, making plays. Yeah. I mean, Bobby Hart. I mean, dude. And did you listen to that podcast with him and Brian McFadden?
I did. I finally went back and listened to it when we talked about it the other day. Just, man.
It's crazy to listen to him talk about that team. It's one of the – you could tell that he's never been around a team like that in his whole coaching career.
I don't think he ever will. I don't think you ever will be. That. I mean, you got to understand, the 2013 team was once in a generation, first of all. Like, all guys was drafted. Like, when all 22 guys, starters, offense, and defense got drafted. Tell me another team that has ever done that.
Yeah.
The only close one is that, 2001 Miami team?
Yeah, that, and I think that LSU team came pretty close. I don't think it was close enough.
Right.
That Clemson team in 2016? Was that 16?
They didn't have all 22 get drafted. That was a good football team.
Was it 18? The one with Trevor Lawrence starting as a freshman.
Yeah, as a freshman. Yeah, that team was really good as well.
Those players going to get drafted.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I'm talking about all 22 getting drafted. There was not a weakness.
Well, you know what's crazy?
On that team at any position whatsoever. Your quarterback was flawless. Your running back was flawless. Your wide receivers were flawless. Your O-line was flawless. Your defensive line was flawless. Your linebacker. There was not a weak player on the team. And here's the thing. All 22 were dogs. Mm-hmm. And if you weren't one, by the time you left, you was going to be one because they was going to work the dog. They were going to make you one.
Right.
Like, that mentality, man, is unheard of. And it started, like, he talked about it. It started with that, with LaMarcus Joyner.
But, you know, it's crazy because somebody was saying, we got to go get a LaMarcus Joyner. But I would tell people this, and I'm being very serious about this. LaMarcus Joyner, I don't think you're lucky if you coach one guy that's like LaMarcus Joyner in a 25-year career. Like, I don't – because that guy is such a different animal. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's such a right. different
When we talk about
beast.
Dogs,
yeah,
he's the alpha. He's the alpha dog.
Like, if it's a bunch of pit bulls, he's the one that all the pit bulls move out the way for when he come through. Like, I mean, he is a different type of animal, dude. I mean, he's the king of the jungle as far as – getting shit done. Like, that's a guy that That's like your number one hitman if you're in a mafia. Like, you know, tell Luca Brasi to take care of this. You know what I'm saying?
He's got to say no more. Get him to take care of it. It's done. It's done. You go to sleep at night. Yeah. You know, okay, yeah. We put him on it. Job's done. You ain't got to worry about it. Yeah. We ain't got to talk about it no more. That's it.
I mean, that dude had a – I mean, that's why I keep saying, like, in my opinion, he should have a statue at Florida State. I mean, because everything he meant, I mean, because if Jimbo don't get that type of guy, I mean, I don't know if it turns into what it turned into. You know what I'm saying?
You know what's – but what's wild, though, you had him and you had Jalen on the team, and both of them are similar animals.
Right.
That's what's crazy.
But even then, LaMarcus still was the biggest dog in that room.
I know it. That's what I mean.
That's crazy.
Like, think about the dog that Jalen is, and now you saying, wait, no, he had to like bow down to LaMarcus. Like you had two crazy pit bulls loose in your locker room.
Yeah.
And that's why when people keep saying he getting rid of all the bad apples, okay. I mean, all right. I mean, I'm just saying, you need some wild animals in that locker room.
Oh yeah.
And Jalen, like Jimbo wanted Jalen.
Yeah.
And he let Jalen, like he disciplined Jalen. He got on Jalen when he took it too far, but you needed a Jalen Ramsey in that locker room. Jalen didn't start wilding when he got to the Jaguars.
Nah.
Jalen was wilding in Tallahassee.
He's always that guy.
He was always that guy. He's always that like, guy. Listen, let the people like tell you some stories of Jalen Ramsey, and they'll tell you that he was always that guy from the moment he stepped in that locker room. I mean, from the moment he stepped out on Tallahassee on the campus. So it wasn't. This ain't new. So again, I keep seeing a lot of people talking about flipping the roster and stuff like that. Cool. You can't get rid of all your dogs. And here's the thing. I'm gonna try to take the positive spin on this. You got to do whatever you can to convince Webb that he needs to come back.
Yeah.
Now again, I don't know what happened with Webb or whatever the case may be. I do. I've heard. I think I sent you a text message of something. I was told that's how it went down. And again, if this is how it went down, I don't have a problem sharing it. So essentially, what I was told is Mike Novell thought the season was over with. He didn't think they were going to reschedule the games for Clemson and Virginia, and so he assumed the season was over with. Started doing exit interviews. That's probably why. That's why you're seeing all the transfers. He basically started doing exit interviews with the team to figure out, you know, things he can improve, who was staying, who was coming, and so on and so forth. He met with Webb and basically told, you know, and Webb asked him. He said, "Man, why am I splitting so many carries with Corbin? I'm the better back." Mm. And from what I was told, Mike passed the buck. He said, "That's up to you. That's a question for your position coach." I'm gonna just say this as the leader of my football team, I don't like that. Again, this is what I was told. If this is how it went down, as the head of a football team, that's an unacceptable answer. And so if I'm Webb, yeah, I'm probably going to be out.
Right.
Because if I ask my head coach, why am I not playing more? And you tell me, I don't know, talk to your position coach, I'm going to have a problem with you. So just my opinion on it. So I think he needs to figure out, Webb is not gone yet. From what I've heard, his name is not in the transfer portal. And he ain't even close. He's your best player. He's your best offensive player.
Right.
You gotta get him back. You need the two-headed monster of, you know, I don't want to say monster, I use that term loosely, but you need the two-headed monster of Jordan Travis and Webb. When those two are healthy and moving, it does bring a huge difference to your offense. It changes your offensive line, how they play. They're able to get downhill. It gives you a running game. It makes everything so much easier. You absolutely need Webb back in your fold. You cannot roll out here with Corbin as your main back next year.
Right.
You just can't.
Nah.
It's going to look bad. So, I mean, you know, so in my opinion, I guess, you know, and I'm trying to, on the positive spin, I'm assuming that Mike Norvell is going to do whatever he needs to do to fix that situation with Webb, let cooler heads, you know, chill and get to the offseason, then, you know, reach out to Webb again. I think he needs to re-recruit Webb.
Yeah.
because Webb is an important part of the future of this team, in my opinion, and it's something that he absolutely needs to he needs to get situated, because again, if that's how it went, again, that's what I was told, but if that's how it went down, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But let's get to a few coaching changes, man. I got to.
Yeah. No, let's do this so you can go work on that golf swing, man.
Gotta hit these.
Maybe you need to practice in your living room or something.
Hey, bro, for real, I went and bought a net, though. For real,
I was just going to say, get you a screen, man. Get you a little
net.
Screen.
I bought me a net. Yeah. And I got like a little fake green that I can hit the tee off of. So, because I want to fix my driver first. I mean, I've been doing pretty good on my three putt. I've been three putting once I get on the green. So that ain't bad.
No, I told you, I gave up on my driver. I use the hybrid, man. I refuse to even pull my driver out. Listen, if Tiger Woods don't use his driver, he don't lost control of his. Why do I think I can master mine? So I gave up. Tiger Woods got rid of his driver a long time ago. He messed with that hybrid, man. It's just something about the mentality of pulling out that driver. You feel like you got a rocket, man. Like you just got to, you know.
Yeah.
And all your mechanics go out the window, man. Yeah. It's just everything go out the window with me, and I can't do it. So I've given up the same way Tiger Woods have. If he can do it, I've given up as well.
Damn.
We're getting this together. But no, man. Let's talk about these coaches, man. So I guess from what we've been hearing is Odell Hagans is going to be moving to an off field role, and Ron Dugans may be out.
I think Dugans, Odell, and Woodson for sure.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going to be gone. So that's an opportunity to hire three new coaches. Eddie Grant just lost his job today. I mean, if you was Mike Norvell. Seriously, Mike. I'm not trolling here. Call Eddie Grant. Give him $1 million. He will be worth every dollar.
You need, yeah.
Seriously, I'm not joking. I am not joking.
People don't understand, man. You need somebody with ties to Florida.
No, bro. You need somebody that know how to get the job done.
I'm trying to say that when I say, listen, man, you need somebody who can play the game.
Yeah.
You need a Brewster. Yeah, you need Brewster.
Nah.
Somebody who understands how to.
Brewster was good at playing the game, but Brewster didn't know how to identify. Eddie can identify and play the game.
I agree. No. I'm just saying, I'm trying to give the people, you know, somebody who they know in recent history what you need on this team right now. I would get them for nothing else, but you need a dynamic recruiter, man. If you look, we are in the 40s in recruiting rankings right now. I heard they're supposed to be getting, you know, a defensive end. Somebody said they may grab a guy. I think they're in for a cornerback who somebody, I think, crystal balled the other day. That ain't going to get us out of the 30s.
Yeah.
Mid to high 30s.
No, they're going to be this recruiting class is over. It's over.
Right, you only got 2 weeks
this
left.
Shit is
you only got less than 2 weeks
at
left.
Best,
yeah.
At best, this shit's going to be top 20 to 25. 20 to 25.
20 to 25? How they getting to 25?
Bro, at best. I said at best.
Name me that. Listen, if they get to 25, y'all take it, y'all celebrate, throw a party. Go down to Madison Social, drink. If they can get to 25, man, I may drive to Tallahassee to drink with y'all.
Yeah.
I'm not saying 25.
So,
but hey,
so
right, positive pod. So
yeah, but again, I'm just saying though, like, if you can get Eddie, that's the move. Don't let somebody like Dan Mullen or
Jesus, no.
Don't let somebody like that get. Don't let like Dan Mullen or Miami or, you know, Auburn or somebody like that grab Eddie Grant. Get Eddie Grant, man, because that guy can unlock everything for you. He can he can put you in 100%. Living rooms you got no business being in. Yep. I mean,
talking to kids you ain't got no business talking.
You
to.
At high schools,
he that, got connections.
You at high schools,
all of, yeah.
You at high schools that they didn't even want to talk to you before. Now they having a conversation with
you. He immediately listen. I put it like this, and I'm gonna try to make it as simplistic as possible. He turns this 30 class into a 15 class.
Well,
he probably asked 10 to 15, not this one.
Yeah.
I mean like next year. I'm talking about next year. Give him a year's time to work. He turns a 30 class into 15 class because he puts you in rooms with guys you have no business being in the rooms with, which now allows you to sell some things. you now have an opportunity to get that LaMarcus joint, that like that bell kind of class, who people are like, oh shoot, he going there?
Yeah.
All right, let me now at least hear out. Let me, you know what I mean? Now, you know what? I might want to hear out Florida. I ain't have Florida State on my list. Let me at least put him in there. You know what I mean? And then you can end up with a Tennessee like recruiting class, because now you're saying, oh shoot, okay. Look at that. You know what I mean? Because, like, where did this guy come from? Well, if you get one five-star, then somebody's going to look and say, all right, well, I want to play with the other dude. He's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you get the five-star quarterback. Now you can get the five-star receiver, because he can be like, well, I, at least I know I got somebody who can throw me the football. So, again, it turns I think, because I think Mike Novell is going to be living this 30 range without somebody, without a big-time recruiter. I think he's going to live in this 30 range, 25 to 30 range of recruiting.
Right.
He allows you to take this 25 to 30 range recruiter and move him into the 15 to 20 range recruiter. And that makes a difference for now. That allows you to get to some wins so that you can flip the roster, and now allows you to now maybe, you know, get it into some positive spaces. Again, you look – wins, man. What's going to get these guys here is wins. The thing that helped you get a LaMarcus Joyner was, hey – look, we still winning games here.
Yeah.
We still, you know, we still competitive in every ball game. We just need you to take us over the top. Right now, you can't sell that. one man ain't gonna make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you can't sell that to nobody who is really worth, you know, they flip, like, no instant impact players. You're not able to sell that to anybody right now. But I do think, again, if you can get, man, Eddie Graham, huge, man. Is it Beat somebody to the punch. I think it's very important, you know, do it now.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know, you know, forget about stepping on toes, forget about politeness and all sorts, you know.
Yeah, if you're going to fire Ron Dugans, get the job done with. Let's get on with the get on. Get Eddie Grant in here. Like, that's.
And you already got, and you got 2 weeks. You got 2 weeks to do it. You don't want to be 2 weeks behind the eight ball.
Get his ass. Because I know Nick Saban to throw his ass on the staff. You know, he'll throw him back there filing paperwork somewhere. So get that shit done.
but he'll make $1 million filing that paperwork, and he'll be just pulling in recruits.
Mining gyms.
Loaded group. Right. Yeah, right. It's very, 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 very serious that they do their best to get somebody. They replace them.
Yeah.
I heard, now again, I've only, maybe this is just message board fodder, but I did hear they, you know, they pretty much getting rid of Fuller. I don't have no basis on that.
I gotta see that to believe that. I don't, you know, well, you know, I don't really read the message boards. I don't.
But my
opinion is that if you're going to get rid of him, to, you should do it now, because you're getting two defensive coaches going to be leaving. So what's a third coach? You know what I'm saying? And that way to allow that new defense coordinator to bring in. He'll bring in himself and two other coaches with him. So why not just do it now? Because if you do it next year, then you're going to be firing three coaches. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I'm just, again, I'm only asking. I'm only asking that they get rid of Fuller. I don't care. I don't care who does it and when. I'm only asking that they get rid of. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. I could care less when they do it. I just want them to do it and do it as quickly as humanly possible. Now, again, I don't think, you know, Mike is that type of player to say, all right, I'm going to fire Fuller with two games left to go in the season. As much as I think we would like, you know, them to, I can't see Mike pulling that trigger. I can't see Florida State pulling that trigger. And I think that's I honestly do think it's maybe even a bad look on Florida State.
Bro, that's 2 years. You'd be paying him for $900,000.
No. I'm not saying next year. I mean with two games left.
Right.
Like, bro. I think you were saying, let's just go ahead and move on from him right now. I know we got these last two games. They don't mean nothing. Let's just move on. I can't see Florida State making that decision. I think that's a bit I don't know. I think that's a bad look. Also, I can't see nobody in Florida State making that, you know, making that move. That's more of an NFL move. Hey, man, you suck. You get on. Get out of here. I can't see that being a good move at college. Just my opinion. Mm. But yeah, I do want Fuller out of here. I do want them to find them. I don't know who. Like, I know we've talked about Muschamp, we've talked about Vanderbilt coach. I don't think Vanderbilt, you think you got a good chance of getting Vanderbilt coach, even though I'm not really sold on him like y'all are. I don't think you have a chance of getting Muschamp, just because I think Muschamp is gonna take another job. He'll go, you know, UMass, FAU, somebody like one of those routes before he ever decides to go back to a defensive coordinator. Just my opinion. And if he does go to the defensive coordinator, he ain't gonna go to, you know, Florida State, who, you know, ain't got no talent over here and all sorts of stuff, yeah, according to people. So that's just my opinion. I don't think you have a realistic shot of getting Will Muschamp, but I do think they gotta find a defensive coordinator. You know, I don't know who the hot shot is, but it also ain't my job.
Yeah.
My job, you know. Yeah, it's not my job. Yeah. They got to find that, and somebody should already know who is the up-and-coming defensive coordinator. Just, man, Google it. Who's the top 10, you know, defenses in the country? Find you, you know, go to Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina just held BYU to whatever it was, 7 points or whatever it is, and, you know, and they had a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. Go figure out who calling their defense.
Yeah.
Offer him $1 million. I guarantee you're making that Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Go offer him $1 million and tell him, you know what I mean? Go tell him to come be your defense coordinator at Florida State.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's what I mean when I say, like, being forward thinking. You know what I mean? They got to get to that place.
Yeah.
You know, where they're ahead of the game, they're being forward thinking. They're able to, you know, look at some of these smaller schools and say, all right, we got an opportunity here at Florida State for you to really make a name for yourself. You turn this defense around, you can be the head coach at, you know, I don't know, Arkansas or whatever. You know what I mean? You get them. Arkansas just got a coach, but you know what I mean? You know what I mean? At a mid-level SEC school, or maybe in the top tier SEC, depending on how good you do, this is a stepping stone role for you and sell it like that. And I do think they have the opportunity to do that. They just got to identify the right guy and put him in place.
Right.
Anything else on these coaches, man?
Nah, man. Let's go ahead and wrap right there. We at like 45.
Oh yeah, definitely. I was gonna say, any final with recruiting? I think we kind of covered it. But you got anything else on recruiting?
No, I ain't got shit. I ain't got nothing else on that. It's going okay. We in the 25s, 20s.
Are we?
Let's live there. We're gonna live there. So, pitch a tent.
I mean,
a tent. Get ready.
Listen, so on the, because again, this was, I hope we were positive. I don't know if we were or not, but on, I guess to try to put a positive spin on it, listen, you can win games with the 2025 recruiting class. A lot of schools do it. It's going to be if you have the right coaching staff in place. So again, we got to trust the Mike is the coach for it. I think we all can say the defensive coordinator ain't, but we got to know that the, offensive coordinator, Dillingham, Mike Norvell, and they're able to pull some guys in this transfer portal. I think the most important thing for this next, you know, 8 weeks, get you some transfer kids. Get you some, don't lose any more players. And find you some good coaches.
Yeah.
Recruiting coaches.
Yeah.
You do those three things, I do think you can look at next season and say, all right, it's not going to be a complete failure next year. We may, like, again, I was saying we're going to win two, three games next season as well. I think if you can do those three things, you can look at next season and say, all right, we got a legit chance of getting to, you know, 6-7 wins. And I know that may not, again, that's not Florida State standard, but it's a step in the right direction, and it gets you back on track to be able to make the next move. So, Those are the three keys, man. Let's hope they get it done.
Yeah, that's all we can do. Let's climb.
Yeah, we climbing. Again, it's Everest, and we ain't got no tools, but we climbing.
Try to be positive. You just, bro, what? What is up with you, bro?
I mean, we climbing, but I mean, you know, it's not like it's an easy climb. You know what I mean? This ain't a hill. This is Everest. All
right, yeah, y'all listen, rate, subscribe.
We ain't got no, like, you know, like the little chalk that they put on there to kind of go, man, we ain't got no chalk or nothing. It's just.
Yo, we out. Just. Come on, Paul, with the best of intentions, bro. There you go. There you go.
You said climb, man.
Best of intentions. Said climb, bro. Best of intentions.
Said climb, man. I was climbing.
I was all excited.
I pictured us climbing.
I got two under the score I did last week, and here you come on the pod. You just.
You said climb, man, and that's what popped in my head. You know, climb. It's cliffhanger.
All right. That's what we do. Oh, okay. All right. Enough of you. I'm gonna get Peach back on the podcast.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Peach done went over the outside, man. Peach over in the dark side with y'all. Peach ain't gonna be out here spreading the positivity like you think he is.
Yeah, might be right about that.
I was gonna say Peach got an invite. Hey. Peach got an invite to join the dark side. So
hey, dark side knows, baby. Dark side knows. Hey, we'll get into that next week. All right, man. That'll be it.
Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook it with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roar. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, make some noise. Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking at. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap's Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jets, Global Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the f*** you spec? Yep, yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Damn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open a hand with no pen? Just draw inspiration.